88.3 Southern FM.
This is The Space Show, which is opened this evening by Tangerine Dream with Chasma Boreale. And we will explain why a little bit later. This is the final track of Tangerine Dream's two-hour Mars Polaris album, which was inspired by the Mars Polar Lander. Welcome to The Space Show, which this evening will remember the Mars Polar Lander, which was launched 25 years ago on 1999, January the 3rd. Also, the current Japanese SLIM and the United States Peregrine moon landing missions that are happening this month. And we will finish with some musical science fiction. Well, first up, a spoiler. The Mars Polar Lander made a landing attempt on December the 3rd of 1999 at Ultimi Scopulae at latitude 76 degrees south. Now, this music we're playing is from the Northern Hemisphere, from the North Pole, Chasma Boreale. Well, now, let's hear a hint of what happened to the Mars Polar Lander.
I don't think we can afford to fail. I don't think failure should be an option.
No. Failure has to be part of the equation. You can't have stunning science without failure.
I think the people who have success without having failure don't appreciate it nearly as much of it as those of us that have lived through the failures.
The laboratory doesn't seem to acknowledge the failed missions. Have kind of disappeared.
It's interesting. When there is a loss, people who suddenly go away, who don't want to be associated with the failure, or who don't want to set the record straight. We want to bury our losses.
I think that it's the pain we can't accept. I think it's the personal anguish. It's the damage to the reputation. That fear has kept us from being even bolder than we have been. although we've been very bold.
We hurt ourselves by describing the process in terms of winners and losers. You don't know how close you are to the edge. And they ought to put the successes and the failures about an eighth of an inch apart.
So we stumbled, but let's go back and see what we can learn from that and try it again.
That was an extract from a 2018 documentary written for the Jet Propulsion Laboratory by Blaine Baggett and narrated by Neil Ross. The Mars Polar Lander consisted of a lander and two penetrator impactor probes called Amundsen and Scott. The mission had a troubled development history.
As for make a deal and stick with it, that concept was not proving to be a two-way street as NASA began adding on unanticipated and, from the project's perspective, unwanted cargo. For the orbiter, there was only the addition of a camera. But for the lander, the requirements creep became a source of ongoing disagreements. First, a descent imager was added. Then came pressure to include a science instrument from Russia, a gesture meant to encourage cooperation with a former Cold War foe. That was followed by lobbying for a stowaway inside the Russian instrument, a microphone to listen to the sounds of Mars. The biggest battle was over two other hitchhikers, a pair of basketball-sized penetrators that NASA viewed as a new technology demonstration. They were to be released just before the lander's entry into the Martian atmosphere. Then they would freefall all the way to the surface, hitting the ground with a force equal to 60,000 Gs. If still in one piece, the probes would search for traces of water ice and serve as precursors to one day scattering other miniature monitors all across Mars. This experiment, named Deep Space 2, was also assigned to JPL. Chosen to lead the effort was Sarah Gavitt.
There are a lot of challenges in designing a system that will survive a crash landing. We started off very early on the mission with a very aggressive test program. To truly have tested it, we probably would have needed 1,000 probes that you fired in under a variety of environmental conditions. We didn't have the luxury of doing that. And so we did have to take some shortcuts in the testing area.
Deep Space 2's breakneck schedule demanded making decisions about risks that no ordinary mission would contemplate. And when this experiment was elevated to project status, expectations for success were raised too.
Sean McNamee did not want the Deep Space 2 probes on his spacecraft, and I don't blame him. We were just going to make his mission heavier and a little bit more complicated.
McNamee was unable to keep Deep Space 2 or most of the other add-on payloads off the lander.
Then, 25 years ago today, came the launch aboard a Delta II rocket from Cape Canaveral.
RCO report ready to go for launch.
Ready to go for launch.
Liftoff of NASA's Mars Climate Orbiter as we continue to explore the mysteries of the Red Planet.
Ignition. We have liftoff of the Delta II rocket carrying the Mars Polar Lander, NASA's first visit to the Red Planet's southern pole.
View from the second stage of the Boeing Delta II vehicle.
There's the rain cloud we're flying through.
Yeah. Oh, is that beautiful?
Pass through Mach 1 coming up on Max Q. Main engine, both burners continue to burn well.
We expect to see these boosters burn out and jettison. We have jettison of the solids. Again, a beautiful view from the second stage of the Delta vehicle. And we have main engine power.
Main engine has cut off.
The progress of launch, everything continues to go right on schedule. No issues or concerns are being addressed at this time.
During the 11-month cruise to Mars, plans were made for how the Mars Polar Lander and the impactor probes would arrive at the South Polar region of Mars.
This team and the spacecraft design, has been under a great deal of scrutiny. The words we're using now is they've turned over all the rocks and are now raking the gravel.
We have never been to the South Pole of Mars before, and we're not exactly sure what we're going to be going into.
This is one of the most difficult things that you can envision in the space business. It requires a very large set of mechanical activities to occur, technically initiated separations of the parachute and of the heat shield. Descent engines have to fire for about 50 seconds. To slow yourself down and come to rest on the surface.
Anticipation was high at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory and at Lockheed Martin, the manufacturer of the probe, as the Mars Polar Lander hurtled towards Mars.
As landing day approached,
we are an hour and a quarter away from arriving on the surface of Mars with three spacecraft. The soft landing Mars Polar Lander, and two experimental hard landing microplanes.
Fall protection reports, all states are nominal. We have a good spacecraft. We are ready for entry.
Spacecraft engineer, FOM on Mars Ops.
Yes, I'd like to report that the pyrotechnic device has been fired to pressurize the propulsion system in preparation for entry.
You've been sitting in the room here for the last hour or so. What's your view from the inside?
Cautious confidence. We think we've done everything we can do. It's out of the engineer's hands at this point in time. Every indication is that the spacecraft is performing exactly as intended. Everything's nice and warm and ready to start the entry, descent, and landing sequence here in just a few short minutes.
Spacecraft engineer attitude can confirm initialization of the absolute SLU with the target entry attitude. Copy that attitude. Prepare it for SLU.
FOM copies. Autopilot initialized for SLU.
This is a Doppler plot. What we're seeing as the line curves downwards is the increase in the velocity of the spacecraft as it approaches Mars. The closer it gets to Mars, the more significant the gravitational pull on the spacecraft and the greater its speed. We're going to lose this information shortly as the spacecraft turns away from Earth.
FOM, spacecraft engineer.
This is the FOM.
Happy landing, Sam.
Copy that, lad. 30 minutes or so to go here.
But I think that was the real interesting moment for me, because it really hit home sort of how remote Mars is from the Earth. You're just completely on your own. Like the concept of like true exploration really hit home. We were really, really out there.
This time the lander should be commanding separation from the back shell with the guidance system initiating a pitch-up maneuver. Power descent is only about 40 seconds in duration. During that time, the spacecraft will decelerate from approximately 75 meters per second, or 160 miles per hour, down to a soft landing at just over 5 miles per hour. Copy that. At this point, the lander should be resting safely on the surface for the nominal flight path. Again, storing MARTI data and critical entry-descent landing engineering telemetry in its non-volatile memory.
Just minutes after the time of the scheduled touchdown, into the mission support area walked, unannounced, NASA Administrator Dan Golden. He was followed by JPL Director Ed Stone and Caltech President David Baltimore. And on the telephone from Washington was Vice President Al Gore, waiting to congratulate the team.
In this particular instance, it was almost like, you know, you hear stories about animals or cats, you know, that are pregnant cats that want to go off in the corner and hide somewhere before they give birth, right? This was definitely one of those cases where it was like, can we just get all of the press out of here and get all of the dignitaries out of here and let us do what we need to do, you know, in dignity by ourselves, and we'll call you, you know, get the dad out of the delivery room, go to the bar across the street, and once the delivery's done, one way or the other, we'll call you when this is over.
We were showing him the pictures of the landing site, and he looked and said, God, are you sure this is a safe spot? You know, all of a sudden, you could see this, you know, twinge of doubt sort of, you know, roll over the man's face as he started, you know, sort of looking at what we were actually going to do here, which was to, you know, come blazing through the atmosphere, open up all these parachutes, put on these thrusters, and try to land this three-legged lander, you know, in this terrain here.
Half past high noon was the first opportunity to hear from the lander, but there was only silence.
Imagine standing next to Dan Golden, and Dan Golden's assistant's got the telephone tied into Gore to report the success, and that's bad news, bad day.
Not here. But we had a plan for what would happen when we didn't hear.
We have a plan of additional communications opportunities today.
That playbook, you know, I think it reflects our normal model, which is, well, it's a problem, but this thing will, you know, this is what could have caused it, and that will be okay because there'll be another opportunity.
What are the possibilities, realistically, that something catastrophic has happened to the spacecraft?
I think we have a long way to go before we're going to begin to get concerned.
Can you think of a single scenario that would account for the failure of communication with both the probes and the lander?
In the wake of the loss of the Mars Polar Lander, there were investigations to find the cause. Even today, the precise cause is unknown, although there is a cascading list of possibilities.
The loss of Mars Polar Lander was first believed to have been caused by a premature shutdown of the descent engines. If true, the lander, after safely traveling 200 million miles, was lost in the last 200 feet of its journey. But no crash site has ever been seen from orbit. Subsequent research points to the likelihood that the lander and its cruise stage never separated. But Mars Polar Lander remains a mystery still to be solved.
We just went too far in trying to skinny down and reduce the number of eyes, the number of people involved. Was just too fragile. It almost worked. In fact, it probably could have worked. But that is not the right answer. The right answer is to find the right balance of checks and balances and safety net so that, in fact, you don't expose teams to these sorts of situations, which are really devastating for the teams.
The Mars Polar Lander is obviously gone, but not forgotten. And in 2020, yes, just 3 years ago, a group called FRAME, which is a collaboration between Bonnie Berwick of the Boston Symphony Orchestra and Ken Berwick from the California, he's a singer-songwriter, they came up with this little song called Hey, Little Polar Lander.
One, two, one, two, three, four. Hey, little polar lander, what's become of you? Some say you crash-landed, say it isn't true. Where's your little beacon? Show us where you are. All your broken pieces from your trip to Mars. Hey, little polar lander, don't ignore our plea. Maybe you're just shy and quiet as can be. We were kinda hoping to hear you say hello. Hello. Turn on your little lander eye and give us all a show. Maybe a Martian grabbed your legs and dragged you into his Martian cave. Maybe your reflexes were slow and you tumbled into a field of snow. Maybe you fell asleep and when you woke up you just didn't know what to do. Hey, little polar lander, where are you? Hey, little polar lander, we were counting on you. Bring back some Martian water, even a fossil or two. And though your tasks were many, none were all that big. Turn on your little microphone and let us hear you dig. Dig around. Grabbed your nose and held it till your circuits froze. Maybe a Martian grabbed your legs and dragged you into his Martian cave. Maybe your reflexes were slow and you tumbled into a field of snow. Maybe you fell asleep and when you woke up you just didn't know what to do. Hey, little polar lander, where are you? Hey, little polar lander, where are you? Hey, little polar lander, you sure were cute.
This is the Space Show on Southern FM.